Oh, Nathan, I'm curious, what led you originally to become an author?
Thank you for the question, Matthew. Being an author was always going to happen when I think back. And the reason is that I've always been interested in stories. I've always been interested in how we understand human emotions, human character, our history, our culture. And that led me to writing first poetry. But beyond that, I was curious about larger stories, larger narratives, especially where I could not find a lot of the stories I was looking for, especially regarding the history, for example, of places like northern Nigeria, which I write a lot about. And so that made me expand my work from just writing poems and short stories into looking at longer prose that allowed me the space to explore the fullness of culture that I was thinking of, the fullness of human experience, and to really delve deep into especially the obscured or forgotten stories and histories of people in northern Nigeria, where I'm from.
And so that would take extensive research, I presume, to pull in the historic details and then work them into, I believe most of your work is novels and fiction. Is that correct?
Yes. I also write satire, political satire, but you are correct in saying that it requires a lot of research. So for example, for my first novel, it required me to watch hundreds of videos of scholars, Muslim scholars, particularly because I was looking at political Islam and how it operates in places like northern Nigeria and the history of that. But also it required me researching the things I already knew, because there's nothing worse than a writer taking for granted, things that exist in their residual memory, and they can very easily mess things up. And so for me, it was not just researching the things I did not know, but expanding my own knowledge and finding out the real ideological roots of what I already know, the historical connections to things I did not know, and situating it properly within the contemporary context and providing a sort of exposition that said, this is where we are in the scheme of things, and these are the questions that these events raise, placed firmly within, of course, the lives of my characters, which is the real story, that there are real human beings that have real feelings and thoughts, and that part much of these parts of northern Nigeria that become just headlines in the news when there's a bombing or something, it has actual human beings that live and love and have desires and fears and wants and dreams. And so that required a lot of research, a lot of listening, a lot of interviews as well, because I had to speak to people who come from the areas and demographics that I was talking about to hear the voice of people and ask if I was going to write realist fiction about characters that come from a certain place. I would like to feel the tone, feel the texture of the expression, how they spoke, how they sat in a room, how they occupied space, how they moved through the world, as opposed to just talking about them as characters. I wanted to inhabit the space
Right.
that they were in as much as I could.
And that's how you leave a reader with a mental picture of the place and the time and the people you're talking with in the story.
That's right. And it takes a certain kind of empathy that all writers, whether they're fiction or otherwise, to move you to do that kind of work, to ask, what are the things I do not know? What are the blind spots? And when the more of those questions you ask, the easier it is for you to transport your reader into this world that you have invited them in.
And then with your most recent book, forthcoming on Ajayi Crowther Street, I'm afraid I may have mispronounced that. What was the inspiration there in taking both in both the story, but then also taking beyond the written medium into a visual medium and having a graphic novel?
That's a great question. The book is actually already out. I think it's my fault. I should change that, remove that forthcoming. It was so the idea for the graphic novel for me was born out of a desire to do some satire around urban cities and centers in places like Nigeria, like Lagos, for example, our most a populous city. In Nigerian culture, it's common for people to be very religious, and often middle class culture is full of religious influences. But hidden in that is the kind of hypocrisy that allows for the types of dysfunction we find in certain urban centers. And so I was trying to do a satire about religious communities and how a lot goes on said within religious communities, and how they in turn pass on hurt and trauma to not just the families within, but to communities at large. And also to talk about the complicity of religious leaders in the destruction of the fabric of sort of modern day Nigeria.
And so then in choosing a name of a street, as you had shared when we were talking earlier, of a famous missionary to Nigeria, you have that contrast, I guess, between the title of the book, including the name of a missionary, and then also building on that, a sort of holding up a mirror to society of the interaction between religion and society.
Yes. Samuel Ajayi Crowther was a bishop, that one of the earliest bishops in southern Nigeria, particularly in southwest Nigeria. He was the first person that brought the Bible into the Yoruba language, and he did that translation. And so many streets in Nigeria are named after Bishop Samuel Ajayi Crowther. And so for me, it was talking about the legacy of religion in Nigeria and how it has transformed our societies and affected our culture and has driven people to behave in certain ways, but also the exploitation of religion for personal goals and ends that we have seen among politicians, among middle-class Nigerians, and the instrumentalization of religion in maintaining the status quo for the suppression of women, the suppression of gay people and other queer people who are queer, and the oppression of minorities in general.
So your earlier book, Becoming Nigerian, was direct satire, but it feels like all of your work is holding a mirror to society. What's the difference between holding a mirror to society in a novel and in pure satire?
Great question. I think that with satire, one has to be more witty, perhaps more direct in the way one exposes the folly, and you utilize a bit more of humor. With novels, the storytelling is more in depth, and you really explore issues through the lives of characters, and you allow the characters to speak and allow your audience see the story as it unfolds. With satire, you know, you explore, you use things like exaggeration, humor, wit. You use things like sarcasm, and you heighten that for effect, and so that people can see in the image, in this exaggerated image, how ridiculous this phenomenon is. With novels, you know, it's storytelling with a lot of space. And you can take people on a long, long journey.
We've got 20 seconds left. What's your next book or story coming out?
I have a novel upcoming, and that is set in northern Nigeria, that follows the life of an ex-Jehovah's Witness trying to make it in a world that he does not understand.
Sounds incredible. Can't wait to read it.
Thank you, Matthew.